Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to really process and reflect on the insights we gather, particularly from strong teaching.
And today we're focusing on a message that, well, it certainly struck a chord from Brother Steve this past Sunday, July 20th.
It really did. A powerful message. And we want to zero in on that core part from Matthew chapter 5, verses 8 through 10.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's the one. Our aim today is to try and really understand what that means, a pure heart.
And why it's so, so vital for us as Christians, especially, you know, navigating the world we're in right now.
It's absolutely crucial.
And thinking back to Sunday morning, the whole atmosphere, it kind of set the scene, didn't it? The worship beforehand.
It really did. That time of prayer and worship, it wasn't just prelude. Songs like Blessed Be Your Name, focusing on God's sovereignty.
Right, and for the beauty of the earth, just acknowledging his creation.
And then leaning on the everlasting arms. That reference to Deuteronomy 33.27.
The leaning tree image.
Yeah, it paints such a picture of dependence, doesn't it? Yeah. Complete reliance on God.
It does. And one pair of hands, too, pointing us back to the Creator. It really felt like it prepared our hearts for what Brother Steve is going to say.
Definitely prepared the ground. It cultivated that sense of needing God's strength before we even got to the sermon itself.
So, picking up on that theme of dependence, Brother Steve jumped right into defining the heart, because we often think of it just as feelings, right?
We do. But he pushed past that. He explained the Greek word, cardia. It's not just emotions.
What did he say it was? The inside part of man?
Exactly. The seat of his personality.
Yeah.
And, crucially, he highlighted it as primarily the thinking process.
The thinking process. Wow, that changes things.
It really does. He used Proverbs 23.7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It puts the mind, our thoughts, right at the center.
So it's not just about managing feelings, but managing our thoughts first.
That's the idea. The mind generates the will, our intentions, and then the will generates the emotion. It's a sequence.
Mind, then will, then emotion.
Which means the heart, our thinking center, is really the control room for our whole being.
That sheds a lot of light on Jesus' interactions with the religious leaders back then.
Oh, absolutely. Brother Sleep made that connection very clear. Jesus was focused on the inside condition.
While the Pharisees were all about the outside stuff, rules, rituals.
Like washing hands, exactly. They thought following external rules made them right with God. But Jesus saw right through it.
He quoted Matthew 15.19, didn't he? Listing what really defiles a person.
Yes. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Notice where they come from.
From the heart, not from dirty hands.
Precisely. It's a complete shift in focus from external performance to internal reality.
That really makes you think about today, too, how much we might focus on looking the part.
It's convicting.
Yeah.
Which leads directly to that command in Proverbs 4.23.
Keep your heart with all diligence.
For out of it springs the issues of life. Guarding that inner source, our thinking is paramount.
So practically guarding it means what? Being careful what we watch, what we read, what we dwell on.
Yes. Being incredibly intentional about the input. Especially now, with so much noise, so many distractions, so many competing worldviews.
It's a constant battle to filter it, isn't it?
It truly is. Because if that wellspring is polluted, everything else will be too.
Mm-hmm.
Our feelings, our choices, our actions.
Which brings us to the tough part Brother Steve addressed, the need for a changed heart.
Right. Because the natural state. Well, he didn't sugarcoat it.
No. Jeremiah 17.9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
And Genesis 6.5. Before the flood, God seeing that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
That's a bleak picture. It shows why we can't fix it ourselves.
Exactly. It highlights our total dependence on God for transformation. And that, Brother Steve said, was the absolute core message of the morning. God is after a changed heart.
A completely new heart, like David prayed in Psalm 51.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Not help me patch up the old one, but create, make something new.
That's profound. And the contrast he drew between Saul and David really illustrated this.
It did. Saul got another heart, the scripture says. But it didn't seem to stick. He became disobedient. His core wasn't truly seeking God.
It was maybe more circumstantial, not a deep internal change.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
Whereas David, well, God called him a man after my own heart.
Even though David failed, sometimes spectacularly.
Right. But 1 Samuel 16.7 tells us the Lord looks on the heart. David's Psalms, they just pour out this desire for God, this fixed intention, even amidst his struggles. Psalm 57.7, my heart is steadfast.
So God saw that underlying devotion, that core direction, even when his actions weren't perfect. Unlike Saul, whose heart drifted.
Exactly. And that's the standard. Not just showing up, not just doing religious things.
Going to church, Bible study, carrying the Bible.
None of that counts if the heart isn't cleansed, if there isn't genuine faith in Christ. It's about the inner reality, not the outward show.
Which leads us to the second keyword, pure. Blessed are the pure in heart. What does that purity really involve?
He broke down the Greek word katharos. It means cleansed, free from filth, from sin, unmixed, unadulterated.
Like something that hasn't been contaminated.
Precisely. He mentioned catharsis, that idea of purging, cleansing. It's about getting rid of the impurities.
So it's not like a one-time cleaning, is it? He connected it to sanctification?
Right. It's an ongoing process. We mess up. We sin. We lose that purity.
So we continually need repentance, confession, 1 John 1.9.
Exactly. It's a daily, sometimes hourly, turning back to God, asking for that cleansing, striving to walk closer to him.
So purity isn't just about avoiding certain sins. It's also about motive, singleness of heart.
That was a huge emphasis. Singleness of heart, a pure motive. He quoted Jeremiah 32.39, I will give them one heart and one way.
One heart, undivided, singular devotion.
Yes. Not trying to have one foot in God's kingdom and one foot in the world's value system.
That really cuts deep, doesn't it? Because the world constantly pulls at our loyalties.
It does. And their motive, what we truly treasure, what we're really living for, that dictates our direction. Like Jesus said in Matthew 6.
Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
And right after that, no one can serve two masters. You just can't. You'll end up devoted to one and despising the other.
It's impossible to split that ultimate loyalty.
Impossible. Mm-hmm. James warns against being double-minded. He says, purify your hearts, you double-minded.
And that stark statement in James 4.4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. Ooh.
It's a strong warning. It forces us to examine, where are my affections? Where is my ultimate loyalty placed? Is it truly singular towards God?
Especially today with politics, entertainment, materialism, so many potential masters vying for our heart's throne.
That's the battleground, ensuring our lives reflect that one, true master.
So wrapping it all up, the core takeaway is God's desire for this deep internal reality, a pure heart singularly focused on him.
Not just ticking boxes or looking religious, but having an inner core that's cleansed and completely devoted.
And this isn't just for our own benefit. It's about how we live out our faith in, as Brother Steve put it, this dark, dreary world.
Exactly. His call was practical. Speak about Jesus. Walk that saintly pathway. Keep pressing closer to God.
He called the Christian life a battle, not easy.
No, definitely not for the faint of heart. But it's through that battle, through maintaining that pure heart, that we actually become effective lights.
A light to humanity, that's a high calling. It means standing firm against apathy, compromise, all the pressures.
It does. It requires that inner steadfastness that comes from a pure, undivided heart. He mentioned John MacArthur as an example.
Right. Someone willing to take the fight, to speak truth, even when it's unpopular.
It shows that kind of courage comes from that deep internal conviction and purity.
It really leaves you thinking, doesn't it? How does cultivating that kind of steadfast, pure, singularly devoted heart, how does that actually change my life, your life, day to day?
And how does it impact the world around us? Maybe true influence isn't about being loud or popular.
Maybe it's about that quiet, unwavering faithfulness stemming from a pure heart. Something to definitely reflect on this week.